Welcome to the next in our series of BKB podcasts, official BKB podcasts, and we're talking to James Kennelly. And we're talking in your gym, James, which is looking absolutely brilliant, a very busy. How successful has this gym been for you?
It's been really well for me and my brothers at the moment. We've got the kids' classes going on, the women's boxer size classes, and it's a pretty full gym most of the time.
Yeah. I notice your brother's doing a lot of the work.
Yeah, well, you know what? They've helped me out this time. They've come on board and said, listen, you concentrate on your world title fight and we'll crack on with the gym. Like, and it gives me as much time as I need to train. So with the way I'm training now with the twice a days, I need the time to myself. So they have really helped me.
Current British lightweight champion, now fighting for the world lightweight champion. And every time we spoke in the past, you've always said that that's in your mind, this world title.
Yeah, I always want to. It's the pinnacle, isn't it? You want to grab the world title and then move on to different countries. But yeah, it's a big one. This is a very big one. I thought the British at the time was the biggest, but this is now the biggest.
What about Marley Church? What do you know?
Marley, the funny story about me and Marley is that when I won the British title and he lost to the MMA guy, he actually come up to me and said, have you got extra four tickets on you? Because I need the four tickets for people that I'm with. And I went, yeah. And then we actually ran to the shop together. We had to find the shop. It must have been about 20 minutes away, this shop was. And we were running to this shop together, like, not understanding that I'm going to end up fighting this guy for the world title in a few months' time. But I don't know, maybe he was sizing me up at the time. I don't know what it was, really. But quality lad, great, respectful. He's been to my gym before and nothing but love for him.
It's interesting, because that is BKB. The 7 2-minute rounds is the enemy, but after that and before, it's not, is it?
No, not at all. You've got to understand, this is bare knuckle, so I don't need to hate people before going to the ring. I just need to dislike you in there and hate you in there, and then afterwards I'm back being your pal again if you want to be my pal. But yeah, you can't be friends with people in this game. I do see a lot in the old BKB, everyone tries to be friends with each other and that. I don't like to be like that, you know. I think people try and be like that to soften the blow, so to speak,
really,
you know.
Yeah.
Soften the blow, like, don't hit me that hard, or I won't hit you that hard. It's some sort of a Morse code.
Like
between
a psychological thing.
It's a Morse code between fight. I don't like any of that, you know. I intend to hurt them in there, because I understand that they wouldn't mind me leaving with my two eyes black shut. Yeah. They wouldn't care. The whole team would be jumping around. So I've got to understand that, and I do realise that.
BKB really is your them, isn't it?
Yes, it is really that, and you've got to understand that. You start going in there trying to be pally-pally all the time, and the next thing you know, you've lost your eyesight, or you've got your nose snapped, so you have to be smart.
Your current British champion, that was important to you as well, winning the British title. But was that the thing that just whetted your appetite, because you want to be the best of the best?
Yes, do you know what? Ever since I've won the British title, all I want is more titles now. I don't want a normal bare-knuckle fight. I need to fight for something now.
I can see the belt, by the way, behind you.
Yes, the belt's there. And that's for everyone, because I kept coming into the gym and I was going, James, where's the belt? And I had it locked in the back room, so I ended up bringing it out to the front so everyone can see it. But, yeah.
The world title. Tell us a little bit about, let's go back a little bit, boxing, because you boxed as an amateur, didn't you? Gloves.
Yes.
Tell us about that, and where were you boxing, you know, because perhaps with your amateur career, there's a lot of thought that maybe you might have been a pro.
Yeah. Do you know, I started boxing at age 9 years of age. I started boxing at 10 years of age, and I had my first amateur boxing fight at 11 years of age. I've boxed out of a gym called Austin's Rover.
Sports and Social, yeah.
Yes, which was Mickey Redmond's, yeah. which our first ever coach, Mickey Redmond. And I went from there, basically. But
proper was, boxing gym, let's be fair.
It was a spit and sawdust gym, yeah. Wasn't it? You know, the old school ones that you can really smell that there's boxing going on in there, you know. And
Wayne Alcott used it for a while as
Wayne Alcott, Robert McCracken used to use it. We had Dean Redmond, who fought Audley Harrison in the ABA final there. He was a boxer. That was actually our trainer's son. And I went from there, basically. I had about 50, 60 amateur boxing fights, and I went round. I remember the times you used to turn up to shows and just put your gum shield in your mouth, and if there was a fight there, you know, and that's how it was in my day back then. And then to go pro, I actually joined the army because I wanted to box in the army like my brother Michael done, but I ended up getting thrown out of the army because I joined wanted by police. You know, I actually went in the army.
You were wanted?
I was wanted by police. And the only reason why I managed to get in there without any criminal record and the check was because my brother knew the person who worked in the army recruitment office. And he basically just got me through. And I must have had about 6 weeks left of training. And I got caught up Darlington by the police, because obviously a fight kicked off, and next thing you know, the police come around and they asked me for my... And they only just got my army ID card a week before, and then I pulled my army ID card, give it to the officer, radio through, next thing you know, I'm wanted in Birmingham, and then I had to go to Yorkshire South, and they actually put me in a Young Offenders Institute for 3 weeks. But when I come out and I went back to the army, they actually said to me that your SNLR service no longer required because I actually joined wanted by the police. And that's really put a stop in my actual, the boxing wise, because I was going to go to the army, box for the army, come out and do the pro. But as soon as I lost it, with got chucked out of the army, it was a case of, I've got to get on the streets now and start earning some money.
Yet there was many thought, because you had a good pedigree in that gym,
yeah,
that pro boxing would have been the next step.
Yes, 100%, but that was it. That was the whole thing. I thought, do the army thing, come out there and I'll go the pro. It just didn't work out for me, you know, like actually getting thrown out of the army. And then obviously that same year, my dad died when I was 18. It was a case of, I didn't give a shit then. Yeah. It was a case of just getting on the thing of selling drugs, fighting, hurting people, just being horrible to people.
You become
just
a loony tune, didn't
just
you?
That's it. I just didn't know where I was, and I didn't know what my purpose was. Like, I've been boxing since I was 9, so I the boxing is all I ever wanted to do. You know, so when that happened to me, and I thought I had no purpose.
And you were good at it.
Yeah, I was good. I like to think I was good. You know, I always have a lot of good comments, a lot of good write ups. Remember the Sports Argus?
Yeah.
The Sports Argus used to come out every Sunday. We used to run down and grab that paper. But as far as I never had no purpose, so I started acting a bit loony. It's basically as simple as that.
And of course, you ended up in prison. Of course,
in prison, yes, because I was going around robbing people and just doing all that stuff. And then the prison gave me 6 years in jail. It's the first time I ever went. I went to a Young Offenders for the 3 weeks, but this is the only time I ever went to jail. It was my first and last.
How long did you serve in?
I've done 3 years and 10 days out of 6 years.
Where were you?
I started off in Winston Green. I've done 14 months in there. Then I went to Oakwood. And then I went to Roy Hill. And then I ended up in a DCAT. I think I lasted 5 days in a DCAT because I got caught with a mobile phone. And then I got released from Huel, which is in Redditch up the road.
I
got released from there. My last 8 months been put in there, and that was in. I got released in 2014. So what we're talking about, 8 years ago now.
So when did after that, you know, because that's a crossroads. You come out of prison, you can go left, you can go right. What made you take the right road?
Do you know what? I swear, I was in jail, and I had a 3-year-old daughter at the time, and then I saw her go from 3 years of age to 6 years of age. And it just the whole process in there, you know. I never went to jail before as far as the adult jail, and I just didn't like it in there. Like, don't get me wrong, I had some of the best times of my life in prison, you know. You'd be surprised. But I also understand that, like, this is not the real world and stuff like that.
I find that strange, the best times of your life.
You've got no responsibility, so to speak, you know. You don't have to pay your gas, you don't have to pay your electric, your food's cooked for you 3 times a day. You only have to concentrate on yourself. And when you only can concentrate on yourself, life becomes a lot easier, you know. You come outside and it's well, like, outside here is a lot harder than inside prison.
Really?
100,000,000%. So, you know, it's as simple as that. The things you have to do out here, the responsibilities or anything that you're going to take on here, the job, everything, That is a lot harder than it is in prison.
So, you're in prison. Did you use that time to keep fit and
I'm just training every single day whilst I was on the circuits. I remember the officers just saying, as long as Kennelly gets gym every day, he'll be all right. So he never cause trouble. That's what I said. Just give me gym, and I'll be all right. As far as not going back to prison, I just saw what it was like in there. You know, it was a waste of life. Yeah. I saw my 3-year-old go to 6-year-olds. I lost 3 years of my life, and I understood, like, if I carry on the way I'm going, then they're gonna take more years away from me. Especially if I come out and I've done another robbery, they would have just slammed me for 10 years or something like that. So I had to change, really. So I had to start getting every job in the world. I was working uptown as demolition. I was doing jobs like 10 hours a day, and I was getting paid flipping, I don't know what's the agency prices on them. So, but I still wasn't getting into trouble. You see, I still wasn't going around robbing people and going out fighting people. Fighting was probably more my problem. Just having fights with people. I've got more on my record for fighting than I have for anything else.
Really?
It's just fighting people. I come from a stock of boxers and fighting, you know. So we never had arguments with people. We just like throwing hands at people, you know. And I understood that years went by that you just can't just keep on doing that all the time. So. All them things.
You're one of nine, aren't you?
I'm the youngest of nine.
Youngest of nine. So, yes. Were they all tough?
Yeah, all of us are tough. All of us army, boxing, all my brothers box. So, me going into boxing, I basically followed all, we all followed our brothers, you know, like they went into it and then we followed them from, that's how we went through. All down to my one that's just before me, which is John. We followed into the boxing that way and then carried on from there.
So there you are, you're out of prison, you've made a decision that you're not going back to prison, you've said, I ain't going back. So what then? What did you do then? You had all these jobs, but it seems like you weren't satisfied with that.
No, I couldn't. I remember just sitting there on some night times and used to think to myself, I need to fight. I just remember I need to fight. I remember, and I started thinking back all the amateur days, and I was very historian when it comes to the boxing back in my day. I used to have encyclopedias on boxing. I used to keep all my trophies.
You're a fanatic.
Okay, major fanatic, like, you know what I mean? I still watch boxing. I've never watched movies and stuff like that. I'm always watching boxing. So, I started enjoying that all back to the fighting and stuff like that. And then I started thinking, I got out when I was 28. I never started the BKB till I was 31. So there's still 4 years, even before I even got into the sport. I think I had 2 white collar fights. So I needed to get back in the ring. My brother Michael trained me for them. And we got the wins on them. And then we thought, I was going to go pro boxing with Kane Baker, you see.
You're right, yeah.
So I'm running with Kane. I'm training with Kane every day. And then the bare knuckle just shot up. And my Ricky Nowell. The Ricky Nowell is the one that I can say got me into this, you know. Because I never knew it was illegal before I started seeing anything with Ricky Nowell the night in it. And then I remember messaging him and saying, how did you get into that? And he was like, tried to give Jim Freeman a ring and stuff like that. And the process happened from then, you know. He sent me over some footage and I had my first fight November 2018 it was.
So you still get your fix of fighting, but it's controlled aggression.
Yeah, do you know what it is? I get to, what I'm doing right now with the walkouts, my interviews, even doing this right now, like, I get all that hasn't been wasted, you know. All the years I had, all the amateur fights, man, all them things have not gone to waste now. I can always look back, and it's up to me now with what I'm doing now to make sure how much is that got wasted, you know. Like, I'm looking, I'll become world champion now. I can always look at all the pedigree that I had from the amateur and stuff like that. It's all become good.
You mentioned, the prison, the robberies, the fights. That's something you have to learn from. Did you learn from all
100%.
That?
100%. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now if I never learned from it. You know, I get in no trouble now. I'm in no trouble now. Like, you know, I haven't been in no trouble for years, and I won't be getting in no trouble years. I know now certain things about myself, and I learn more about myself that I can be better around people now. I don't need to be so aggressive. I don't need to attack people just for no reason. Yeah. I wouldn't say no reason, but you know, I don't have people around me that are going to put me in them certain situations.
I think when you're a BKB fighter, people know you're tough. You don't have to prove anything.
Exactly that. But you understand when you're coming up in the world and that, you don't think people know that, so you're going out trying. You're not trying. You're basically proving your toughness.
It's Willie waving, isn't it, really?
Exactly. You're basically proving it around people who can't have a fight themselves, you know, the local boozers or around your area. You know, these people have never come fight out of a wet paper bag, but you're proving you can fight in front of them. So.
But beer and whiskey make you very tough.
Exactly that. And now, ever since I've got involved in the BKB, it's not even before, I don't get into fights. Like, me putting my hands on another person now outside of that ring would be
very disappointing,
you know.
So you're... One of the things that shines through, I mean, you can be, I think there's two
sides.
Two James Kennelly,
yes,
right? There's James Kennelly, the I'm a tough guy, but then there's another side I see.
Yeah.
Especially when you're around your daughter.
Yeah, if you're nice to me, I'm nice to you. That's how I like to be. If you dislike me, I dislike you. I just keep it simple as that, you know. And I do have a very small circle, whereas I don't need loads of people. I don't have loads of people coming to me, tapping me on the back and stuff like that. I know who the real ones round on, what's name. But
you're not fooled by all the falseness,
are you? I suffer no fools, you know. I don't suffer no fools. If I have to resort back to the old James Kennedy, man, I don't mean to speak about myself in the third person, but if I have to resort to that person, I can, just like that, you know. And that's probably the benefit, because you do get horrible rats around, and you will come across people who are trying to take the piss and stuff like that, and you have to resort back to that. You have to let them know. You can't always be nicey-nicey all the time. I might have turned into a nice person, so to speak, but, you know, I'm not just going to keep that niceness if someone's trying to disrespect, you
Interesting
know.
Interesting
so
that you
it's
say...
It's nice to have the both parts.
People will find you, and you treat them
based
exactly on how you treat
them. I find them. It's as simple as that with me. You know, I treat people. I've learned more about myself over the last couple of years with doing that than I ever have, you know.
Tell us about your family and your daughter, because, I mean, obviously, I don't think you're not with the mum anymore, are
No,
you?
I'm not. I've got two daughters I have. I've got Lacey, which is 14
today. The one we see all the time.
I've got, I've got Miley. She's 6 now. I've got 2 different baby mums, and that's why I don't have a girlfriend now, because, you know, I learned my lesson, so I just stay on my own. But, they're wicked children, you know what I mean?
Like, Lacey's walked out with you, hasn't she, at BKB?
She walked out with me nearly all my fights. Yeah. I don't think... my second fight, Dan Chapman, she started walking out from them. She was only 10 years of age then. Wow. She's now 14, you know.
And she's in the gym occasionally with
She's all... We get a train and getting doing the boxing as much as you can. But, you know, at them ages now, they're here, there and everywhere at night. They don't want to be around their parents or whatever, you know. They do change.
How big a part was do you look at Lacey and think, I can't afford to get to, I don't want to be taken away from you and put in prison?
That's probably one of the main, I promised my mum when I first come out, and whoever cringes that, I said, Mum, I'm never ever going to go back.
Best friend
there.
You ever have, your mum. Don't apologise for
back
that.
There, you know, because, yeah. You know, the it's all right me being in there and if it was going good and all that. It's a lot of stress. You know, my mum must have been, what, you know what I mean? Like, what would she be thinking of her son in prison? And I'm the only one out of the whole nine that ever went prison. Like, none of them got arrested, and I've been troublemakers like I was. There was just nothing like me. I was a run to the litter, so to say, you know.
I suppose, really, I mean, at one time, you had a profile in the area of being not a nice person.
Yeah.
Steer clear of him. Now you've got a bit bigger profile and people admire what you've achieved.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've just basically, you know what? When I was in prison, I knew that I could do more good than I was doing bad. Mm. You know, I could do more good than I was doing bad, and that's exactly what I'm doing now. I do more good than I've ever done bad, you know. So, well, and people generate to that, you know. I mean, if I look back to how I am now, I should have been this person years and years ago, you know. I just had to figure a few things out about myself and stuff like that. But if I was this person, which I could have been years ago, my whole life would have been different, you know. It just took me, with me being I was years ago, I had to figure some stuff out.
But life's a journey.
Yeah.
And without that experience, you might not be heading towards world champion. Who knows?
I wouldn't have the mentality I have now if I never went through. You can't.
To be fair, you might be dead.
Yeah, you know, I could be doing anything. I could be on drugs. I could be, you know, I could have stayed in that. But I think the jail was the main changing factor for me. You know, like, it showed me the other side of the life. That, listen, if you carry on, James, you carry on doing what you're doing, and you're going to stay in a place like this. And really, it was, as I said, I had some of the best times of my life in there, but it was a major shithole, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
were your brothers a big influence?
Yes, very, very, through the boxing, through the army and stuff like that. Like, we all followed them.
Did any of them ever say, hey, get a grip of yourself, son?
They all did, every one of them. Every one of them did. Everyone tried. My brother Mike tried. Brother Patrick tried. They were trying, you know. They'd done what brothers needed to do.
Especially with the youngest.
But, yeah, and I'm the youngest as well. So, you know, I took a few more years to clock on to certain things and all that. But hopefully they're proud of me now, you know. Like, they see more, the better of me now than they ever have, you know. So that's all I can ask for.
We're sitting in this fantastic gym, and it is a smashing gym.
Yeah.
How did that all come about?
Well, the gym come about from... basically, this gym that we actually own now, me and my brothers, we used to train in this gym 10 years before we owned it, you see.
Oh,
so we would just come here, train just like normal. We used to pay our memberships like everyone else. And my bro, Mike, used to run the boxer size classes. And then the owner, he was struggling a bit. The gym was pretty struggling a bit. And then he come to us and he asked me personally, he's gone, do you want to go 50-50? But then I took it to Mike. I remember Mike saying to me, he's gone, you're going to take 50% of his headache, you know. So we offered to buy him out.
Instead take of going, all the headache.
So we'll take it all off you, but we'll do it our way so there's not another person. And then basically we all jumped on it like that. And I think it was October 2019 we took over this gym, which is 3 years now, really.
And
so
you've had COVID and everything to
come. We've had COVID a year. So basically the gym's been open fully for 2 years out of them three, and we've turned it around. Like, we've all stuck our heads together. We all know our parts within the business, and it runs well for everyone, you know.
I'm looking around and you've got great equipment.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a proper working gym. Yeah. Have the people local bought into it?
Yeah, we do have people local. Like, the classes that we have are great, you know, and with the more equipment, the better equipment that we'll get, we're looking to get more people in, you know. Like, the better equipment, more people want to use it, you know. It can't just be about the actual gym all the time. People want quality machines, you know. Because we have got a Northfield Leisure Centre across the road that could take completely all of our members. Yeah. If you ever watched the film Dodgeball, when you get Global Gym over there, you got a little small gym over there. We're that little small gym, but we do well. Like, we don't have to want for nothing, to be honest with you. Like, but if we doesn't stick to their standards as far as the equipment's concerned, then they'll take all that.
Well, you've certainly done that. I'm looking around.
We're trying to, you know. My brother Patrick goes out and cracks on with getting the equipment and stuff like that. Like,
this is for working, isn't it? This is not for... that, you know, there's no saunas and...
You'll have no steroid users in here. You'll have no one posing in the mirror, mate. Yeah. We have none of that in here, to be honest with you. We don't, you know, we're a good, healthy, friendly gym for people. Yeah. And you know what? If you've got a good business, it'll always make money, you know, and that's how it goes.
What about, I mean, I know your brother, none of them have fought BKB, have they? But I know your brother corners a lot.
Yeah, he does. Mike gets involved with him. He trains Eric Olsen, and he's got a new one coming up now, Smudger Smith. I think Kennelly's gym's got his own Smudger Smith.
He's fighting a BKB 29, to be fair.
Yeah. He's fighting on the next show, yeah, on his debut, which is thanks to Jim Freeman and Joe Brown, because, you know, I made a phone call, and I've never, ever vouch for anyone, you know. I've never put no one's name forward. I've had loads and loads come to me, James, get me on the BKB. I thought, oi, you know, I never, but for this kid, because I saw his...
He must be special then.
Yeah, I saw his commitment, you see. I saw his commitment, how he was and stuff like that. And I thought, you know, we'll take a chance on him, you know, because he's coming under the Canelli's gym banner, you know. And we want him to, you know, we want him to do well. We want him to go in there and cause a bit of noise.
Recommended him, so everybody will look at you, won't they?
I'll just get now, but you know what? I just got his foot in the door, but I wouldn't have done it for anyone, you know. He come to me to train him, to be honest with you, but I can't train. I'm not a trainer. Yeah. I don't want to be both. I just want to be a fighter. And
is Mike good at that?
That's forte in it. That's what he does, you know. He likes training because he's not fighting. He's done all his bits of boxing. Yeah. He'll crack on me the training of people. So anyone comes to me to try and train, I'll just push on to my brother Mike. Everyone goes to me, even my PTs now, I just push on to my brother Mike because I haven't got the time, mate. And I don't want to be a trainer and a fighter. I don't want to teach people how to throw a jab and then try and learn how to throw the proper jab myself, you know. I want to concentrate just on the fight for myself and then later in life, I might jump on the training, you know.
So let's get on to the BKB journey. Okay. And you being hit with bare knuckle was not an issue for you, and hitting with bare knuckle was not an issue. You'd done it all illegally.
Yeah.
Now you're going to do it legally. Do you remember that first fight?
Yeah, I do. My first fight was against Ashley Griffiths. Yeah, and that was a case of Jim just phoned me up saying, do you want to take this fight? And I didn't know. And I remember the guy messaging me about a week before, and he was like, I'm 10 kilogram overweight. This is what he's messaging me personally. So I said, you know what?
That's nearly 2 stone, by the way.
Yeah, but there we go. But he was nearly 2 stone every minute in that first fight. That's why you just go and watch that fight. If you haven't watched my first bare knuckle fight, you know, this guy wasn't exchanging with me, you know. I needed him to throw something for me to throw back, but he had the power there. But yeah, I loved it after that second, you know. It's one of them things that...
What was the thing that you've gone, wow, this is bare knuckle? What stuck out?
Do you know what it is? If you go into pro boxing nowadays, you have to start off with the small hall shows and stuff like that, and... You went to the big time straight away, you know. You had the weigh-ins, you had the interviews, you had the walkout cameras coming out. Like, everything was what I imagined, what I always wanted it to be. Like, you know, when you're a young amateur, you want to walkouts and you want interviews and you want all these things. I had it there already. I didn't need to go into the pro boxing world. We start from the small hall shows, build myself up, and then get to the thing. I went straight to the top. So once I saw all what was going on, and remember, when I joined in 2018, November, it was nothing like it is now. Like, we had no sponsors on the ring. It's all sort of...
It's grown very quickly,
and it really grown from the first prize fight tournament as well. That's when I started seeing everything. The documentary started coming out, more about people, the profiles of people. So it's really grew from there.
I suppose as well that then it was a win for you. And let's be honest, a lot of fighters don't win their first fight because it's a strange thing. But you won your first fight, and immediately Jim's put you straight in with Dan Chapman. I mean, there was no easy road for you, was there?
It was. Basically, the prize fight was a tournament. I got picked out to fight Chapman. It wasn't Jim Freeman's decision for me to fight Chapman. It was 8 people in the tournament, all of our names in a hat, and I just happened to get picked out with flipping Speedy Gonzalez, Dan Chapman, you know what I mean? But
a good fighter, to be fair.
Good fighter. You can't... Quality fighter, any at the end of the day, mate. You know what I mean? Doesn't fight enough in the BKB world, but, you know, that's nothing to do with me. But, yeah, it was a good fight, very good fight. I thought I was having it, mate, until they called it a knockdown in the second round. I was like, I sort of lost all enthusiasm then.
And then you move on, and another tough ex-soldier, Smudger Smith.
I had Smudger Smith then. We got to know each other before that tournament. Then I had to fight him, and he was another tough lad, you know what I mean? I love Smudger Smith to pieces, like.
Yeah. And then... Ricardo Franco, let's be fair, you haven't had an easy BKB journey, have you?
You know what it is? I think it's because of the prize fighter tournament, you see. There was all good lads in that prize fighter tournament, and I've never said no to a fight as it is. So the people that were coming there, I just, yes, 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 yes. Because...
Have you ever turned a fight down?
I've never turned a fight down, you know what I mean? Never.
So you're not picking your opponents, are you?
I think the worst thing you could do in a game like this is pick your opponents, you know. You're asking for trouble. You're going to ask for trouble, you're picking opponents. You know, Jim brings them to me, I say yes or I say no. It's as simple as that.
And then one of my favourite fights was you and Sean George. One of my favourite fights.
Yeah, Sean
what a
George.
Fight that was.
Yeah, good fight.
I mean, a real warrior as well.
Yeah, tough as nails, old Sean, mate. Look who he's fought as well. His resume beats mine. But yeah, quality fight, mate. But no, I just had to box him. Once I started getting on the boxing, that was probably one of my best performances as far as the boxing's concerned. You know, I just stayed out of the way, using my jab a bit more.
You use your boxing ability there, the technical side.
I'm always better, but I just want to kill these people sometimes. And that's probably just going back to how I am as a person sometimes. 100 miles an hour, you know. I think I'm undiagnosed ADHD, mate. Something's happening, you know. But, yeah, and I just want to kill him, you know. I see him in front of me. I can get my hands on him. I just want to tear him apart. But as I've, like, I joined with the McCrackens and even my brother Michael hurt me, starting to be patient, you know. I want some more patient with things now. A box better, you know. It wants some boxing better, you know.
What stood out to me with the Sean George, and I'll never forget it, I was talking to Robin Reed about it, was that was your use of your feet. That was the first time I'd seen you use your feet to get you in and out of trouble.
Yeah, it was. And you know what? I feel like I've had a crash course in this BKB, you know. Before I had my first BKB fight, I never fought for about 8 years. I had 2 white-collar fights, but I never fought for about 6-7 years before that. You know, it was really out of the blue. So each fight you see of mine, I know they're seeing improvements in me. I'm just getting used. Like my last one against the Castros, it's got to be my best performance out of my whole 8 fights that I've had. And I believe I'm getting more comfortable with it. Like my next performance, I'm putting all the work in now for this to be my best performance. You know, it has to be. I have to be better than the Castro to beat this Marley Churcher.
And that was tough. But I noticed you've glossed over Conor Tierney.
Okay.
And in a podcast, we can't. We've got to look at it. And I'll remember that to local guys, at Wheelie Castle North, really close. It didn't end the right way for you, did it?
Nah, it didn't end the right way. But then again, try having...
Did you not... I've got to word this carefully. Did it all get you? Because we never seen the best of you against him.
Nah, you wouldn't have, because, you know, before, especially the first fight, I had Sean George, and who has 2 bare knuckle fights in one night, you know what I mean? I do.
You can do, I did. But if one of them's Sean George, then you're asking
exactly
for trouble.
Exactly that, and you know what, that's no one's fault. We got names got put in the hat again, and we got picked out. It's just my luck that I had Sean George in that first round. Yeah. And having 3 rounds with a veteran like he is, and having to wait in the back for a half hour, 40 minutes for my hands to swell up. This fight's never been done again. I asked Jim Freeman about it, and there's no point.
Jim said that could have been the final, do you think?
It could have been the final, but no one ever saw what it would be like for someone to have 2 bare knuckle fights in one night, you know. No one would know what it like to have the first one and then having to go wait in the back for your hands. I had to get in against Tierney on the first one with my hands still swole up. I had a cut eye off Sean George. Everything just went bang. It was like a big dump, really, you know what I mean? Like, I just didn't feel, there's nothing there. I mean, in the second one, Jesus Christ, man, they had me, I think the week of that fight, the illness, I think the amount of illness coming at me in that week was terrible, you know what I mean? Like, I lost about 3 kilograms in that week, but that's another thing.
You didn't walk away from it, did
you? I'll say it now because it's a podcast, but you'll never see me write that down. You'll never see me complain about it. You'll never see any. I lost 3 kilograms that week in that second Tierney fight, mate. Illness, mate. I know what it was as well. I had some avocado, and I remember eating the avocado, and I thought, wow, it's a bit fluffy, that is. I remember, bang, illness for 3 whole days, mate. And I remember saying to myself while I was ill, while I was getting sick, I said, there's no way I can pull out of this fight. There's no way I was pulling out of that fight.
Should you have?
Maybe so, but, you know, I think... Nah, I don't...
It's not your nature, really,
If I look back now, if we're looking on, if I was sick going into a fight as big as that, should I pull out? Yeah, I probably should, because you want to be 100% for the fight, don't you? But at that moment in time in the match, because remember, I was training up Leeds that time. I was traveling to Leeds 3 days a week for like 8 weeks on a trot. Like, it was a tough, and I weren't ready to give up all that just for a bit of illness. So I went through with it, and I had a good account myself. I only lost on a split decision, you know what I mean? And I was coming back on a fight, which is a fight that I actually thought I won. You know, I thought I just nicked that fight, but it is what it is.
And then another great fight, you and Nathan. I mean, people still talk about it. It was a hell of a fight.
Yeah, Nathan, good lad Nathan is. I always knew
good boxer
Nathan
as well, like yourself.
Do you know what? He's got a lot of pedigree, Nathan, as you know, from the Bracebridge Amateur Boxing Club, you know what I mean? Like, I remember the guys, I remember his name when I was in the amateurs, you know.
He was 7-0 as a pro with the BBC before they stopped him.
And do you know what? He was 13-0 as a pro. Or 16-0, I think someone said that he was 7-0.
7-0, but 6-0 with the Irish ball.
Oh, is that what it was?
So making it 13.
Different board, yeah. Yeah, good. With Nathan, I remember watching Nathan, I thought, I know I'm better than this kid, stylistically. My style's a bit better. How can I get into a fight with him without having a good performance, with getting no damage? And you know what, Tom? I managed to do that.
Yeah.
I managed to do it. Yeah. And that was all the training I'd done. And that was no luck there, mate. You know what I mean? I just looked at his style and thought, he loves to scrap, he does. He wants to fight. He wants to get at me. He just wants to tear and throw about 20 punches at one time. How can I do that? When he gets close to him, I'll grab him, hold him so he can feel my strength. And when I'm on the outside, I'll just try and box his head off.
I watched you as well afterwards. The joy with that British belt.
Yeah. Finally got something out of it, you know. I never got into sport for belts or I never got into sport for anything like that. You know, he just come along at that time. And once I got it, it was refreshing, you know.
But think back to those days when you were fighting in the streets. You know, you were fighting and winning. And no recognition. Now you're fighting and winning, and you've got recognition.
It's all crazy now. You know, like everything. I get paid.
Recognition across the world as well. You know, with the.
I get paid for something I used to get arrested for. The time, you know what I mean? It's as simple as that. You know, I basically get goodness out of something I used to get arrested for. So I've turned it all around in the end, as far as the fighting and stuff like that. You know, I mean, and even if I stop today, I still use my amateur pedigree to get where I've got today in the bare knuckle. So nothing's gone to waste. I think if I never took this bare knuckle opportunity at the start, and I would have been here now just having a normal 9-to-5 job, I wouldn't have the gym. I reckon I'd be a depressed man. You know, I'd be living on them regrets. You know, I'd be looking back, going, I should have done this, or I wish I'd done that. And I don't have to think like that now. You know, I think the worst thing you can live with is regret. You know, and I don't have to live with that now. You know, I can just crack on. That's what people say to me. You're doing so well. I never think that I'm doing so well. That fight was great. I never think, you know, because I think there's a lot more to do and there's a lot more to come from me. So I don't want to get complacent with it. You know,
people ask me about James Kennelly in the BKB, and I said he always leaves the ring with no regrets. Give it all.
I give everything in the ring, you know. Everything that I do, like, I've been in training now for 4 weeks for this fight. I've got 6 weeks left training. That's 10 whole weeks of my life, and that's not going out. That's not nothing, lads.
Yeah. So you think you'll be world champion?
Yes, 100%, I'll be world champion, though. I'll put too much work into this, and only God knows, end of the day, I'm just going to put everything that I can into this to become world champion. It's going to be a tough fight. It's going to be a tough, hard fight, but when have I had an easy fight, Tom? You know.
To be fair, looking through your record, not many.
No.
Would you encourage... I mean, you've done it with one boxer, because we've got a lad fighting on the bill that you put through from your gym.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself encouraging people, maybe becoming a BKB trainer or what? Do you see...
Yeah. Right now I'm the fighter. I do the fighting first now. Yeah. I have a lot of people that come to me for PTs. I train them, and I like to keep it separate. My fighting's my fighting. After I've done my fighting, you never know, I might be the next biggest BKB promoter from Birmingham, you know what I mean? Like, I might have BKB shows come back. I'll have to phone Jim Freeman and ask him for some advice how to run the shows, you know, or Joe Brown. But, you know, that could be an option, but I'm not looking at anything like that now. I just want to... And, of course, I love to bring people into the game, stuff like that, but I like to think this is a serious, serious, serious sport. You cannot get into this sport because you've saw certain fighters on videos or their promo videos and that all looks good and stuff like that, because it's a serious sport. And once that, as I always said, once that first punch gets cracked, that will tell you whether you want to do it or not.
Just finally, just sum up what BKB has meant to you. Not BKB the fights, but BKBTM, the organisation, Jim and Joe. What has it meant to you?
Do you know what, to be honest with you, it's changed my life for the better, you know. Like, it's given me more, it's given me a purpose, given me something to work on, given me something to aim towards, you know. I ain't just James Kennelly anymore, I'm the BKB fighter, you know what I mean? So
BKB British champion.
British champion, yeah. And I've got something to work towards now, you know, and let's see how far I can take this, and that's my aim now. But yeah, Jim, Joe, Brian, thank you so much. Look, they don't understand how much they give you the opportunity. It's up to you to take the opportunity. You
that's
know,
all that, they do.
Yeah, that's all they do. That's all they do. That's why sometimes I don't thank them as much as I should, because I always look at these sports like, this me that's doing it.
You've grabbed that opportunity.
You've given me the foot in the door. Thank you. But now it's me to try and crack on and try and bring it to where I can bring it. But yeah, thank you to them. But yeah, BKB has changed my life for the better.
Message for Marley ahead of the fight?
Marley, hopefully you make 79 kilogram, mate. Don't be coming in overweight. And let's put a great fight for the fans. War.
Of course, you can't exist without good sponsors, can you?
Yeah, I can't exist without the sponsors. And I'd like to mention them now. I've got Craig Corrigan and Gerard Corrigan from A Helpful Plumber. I've got Tyrone Henderson from Strike Electrical. I've got Adam Powell and Kirk Martin from Intech Property Solutions. I've got Benji Cobson from Midlands Concrete and Underfloor Heating. I've got Richard Waller, which is RTW Roofing. I've got Ancoa Scaffolding, which is Adrian Sheeran. And I've got Budby Clothing, which is Michael Keown. Thank you so much for all them. What they do for me and what they give to me, I don't think... Do you know what? I could do this without them, but it would cost me a whole lot of money and I wouldn't be getting nothing back out of it, you know. What they do, they put the time and their money into me and to see where I can get in this sport. So I'd like to thank them from the bottom of my heart. Thank you.
I suppose when you get in the ring as well, I mean, it's interesting when you get in that ring, you're fighting for them as well.
Yeah, they don't have to do anything for me. These people do not, the businesses, they don't have to give me anything. They have to give me money. They don't have to contact me, but they do. And the people that do, I think that most have been there from day one, especially the helpful plumbers and the Intex. They've been there from day one, them people. And I don't, and they ask for nothing off me. So I just really appreciate them doing that for me. And I completely forget about shouting them out all the time, but I've got the opportunity now, but here you are, you know.
Brilliant. That sees James Kennedy. What a story he's had with BKB. It's the BKB official podcast. Thanks, James. It's been brilliant. And if you've enjoyed it, please leave a review on your local platform. We'd love to hear whether it's good, bad or indifferent. We'd love to hear from you. Until the next time, take care.